On this episode, we talked to Senior Art Director Jason Heisel.
Senior art directors, old and confused, and should they be granted accessible parking spots?
And college versus community, is the debt really worth it?
Thunder! 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 Thunder!
Welcome to the Thunder Nerds, where we made you a painting. We call it Celebration. It's sexual and violent. I am now and forever JD Riot.
I'm Eric Shin, Copacabana.
And I am Frederick Philip Von Weiss. And you are listening to the Thunder Nerds, a design and developer discussion for all levels in the industry that love what they do and do web good. So today we're going to talk a little bit of sexual and violent painting. Is that what's going on?
I made you a painting.
What?
I call the painting Celebration. It's sexual and violent.
I thought you might like it.
You show that ocean, Todd.
You show the doctor was a gift.
You tell that mean ocean.
Fork that on GitHub.
That's the quote you have to find for that one. And so that was like, it's like, you are my bitch mother. It's like, you tell that mean ocean. It's so good.
Stay in the closet. Go in the closet. Go in the closet.
Exactly. So good.
Speaking of art and fine art paintings, today we're speaking to Senior Art Director Jason Heisel. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you very much for having me. Good to be here.
Yeah, our pleasure. Good to have you here, Jason. Jason, as a Senior Art Director, what exactly does that role entail?
Is it a walker? Is that what it is? It's a walker with tennis balls on it is how you get to senior art director, right?
Exactly. So do you have to be age 65 or older?
Do you have to give your grant? Do you have to give like the younger art designers Werther's originals and like make them sit on your lap and then like tell you like old stories about how your father used to give you those?
Do you give them hard candies?
I think you hit it right on
with
the
impossible
head.
Rappers.
What are some of the perks that come along with it? Parking spot right up front?
No, I don't even get a parking spot. It's funny because I came in there a year ago, and there's some guy that's they gave me the title of senior art director, but there's also an art director that's been there for like 11 years.
In a retirement home.
Yeah.
It's a retirement home. I'm old, but I just got here a year ago. How fucked up is it to feel like the new kid again at 90? You know what I mean? Like, that's like the fuck. That's like so fucked up about. I didn't think about that until just now. Like, imagine being like in a retirement home. You're 65 or 70, and you feel like the new kid again.
That's right.
What the fuck is up with that?
Well, all the ladies will be looking. Wow. It's good.
Yeah, it's cyclical, dude. That's just
everybody
the way life is.
Looks good. You can't fucking see. Like, that's the thing. Of course everybody looks good. Yeah, you look like you did when you were 20, Betty, because I can't fucking see anything anymore because my eyes are gone.
Jason, speaking about
cataracts don't fail
your
me
eyes
now.
Being gone and eyes not happening and being old, can you give us a little context about how and where you came from? We'll start off and we'll go from the beginnings and then talk about how you became a senior.
Sure, yeah. I was going to college. I went to a community college. It was Manatee Community College at the time. And I was just taking courses and I got my associates. I still didn't know what I wanted to do. So I decided, you know, I took a accounting. I was going to be an accountant. I went through accounting one and accounting two, took a lot of business classes, and I thought it just felt, I liked it, but I'm not sure it wasn't, that would be so fulfilling, you know. And I also took architecture classes. I was going to be an architect. I did a whole floor plan, took 2 years of architecture, and then all of a sudden one day I took a graphic design class one semester, and I was like, this is exciting, and it's creative, and let me see if it makes money. That's the last question I had to ask. And I went from there, and after I took that class, I decided to take a step further. And my friend Megan, she was going to Ringling at the time, and she goes, you should apply at Ringling. I'm like, Okay, and so I had a lot of, I took some drawing classes and stuff like that at the community college. So I, you know, I submitted a portfolio of like 10 or 15 pieces, and, you know, I got accepted, and, you know, I went to my mom and I said, Mom, you know, I got accepted to Ringling, you know, and I paid my way all the way through community college. And I'm like, I'm not quite sure I can afford, nice. You know, Ringling. And she's, well, definitely now I couldn't. But back then, it was a lot cheaper, definitely.
You didn't even have any intention as a kid then to become some kind of artist, to be in a art career or marketing or anything like that. You were going to be an architect, or you were going to be, what did you say, something legal?
An
you were
accountant. Gonna be, what? Yeah, I was
an
taking
accountant.
Oh. Yeah. And I did well in accounting.
Some people might look at you a little cross-eyed for not including architects as artists. Frank Lloyd Wright might have something to say about that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm just putting that out there.
Yeah, I don't think that's my intent of what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you didn't come from that path of, I'm going to go to art school and I'm going to do something in that realm.
Right off the bat.
As far as like a graphic design. So then your parents helped you out, and what happened from there?
You know, after I graduated Ringling, my friend Megan, who also, you know, got me to go to Ringling after, she graduated 2 years before I did, and she moved out to Dallas, you know, and so she'd been out there a couple of years, and she's like, you know, she, after I graduated, she goes, why don't you come to Dallas? There's a lot of opportunity here, and so I said, you know, let's go, you know, so I packed up and moved out to Dallas, and, you know, got a job. Actually, I didn't have a job when I first moved there. I just moved there, and I worked, you know, I had some side jobs at the Olive Garden, so I worked at the Olive Garden there for about a month. And within about, you know, 2 weeks, I had my first interview and got a job at the Dallas Business Journal doing pagination. And that was a cool job. That was definitely I kind of dabbled in illustration. They didn't have, you know, I was doing mostly pagination, but they said, you know, we have a story, but we don't have any pictures for the front cover. Would you want to create some artwork? And so, you know, I got in, I think I did it in Photoshop, and created some illustrations. And so then probably about every other week, you know, they'd be like, hey, you want to do an illustration for this, you know? And so that was cool. It definitely kind of pushed me in ways I never thought, you know, I could be. I still am not, I wouldn't consider myself a refined illustrator. You know, mine were kind of rough, but, you know, they were fun. And shortly after that, I got a job. I got a job offer at the Loomis Agency, which also is in Dallas. That's advertising. So that was my first advertising job, and that was really cool. I worked on some pretty big accounts, Stanley Steamer. I don't know if you ever heard of Community Coffee. That's CC's Coffee. Boomtown Casino. I had Coca-Cola. Did some stuff for the Texans, McDonald's. UDV, I don't know, they were like a United Distiller. They're basically like Smirnoff and stuff like that. So it was a really good experience. And then I became a little homesick and decided, my family and everything. And, you know, I had Meg there. Meg's my buddy, you know, and she still is to this day. We're still good friends. But, you know, I decided to come back to Florida. And definitely the market here isn't what it was in Dallas. Dallas was, there's a lot of, you know, and to this day, I kind of kicked myself in the butt, maybe, you know, if maybe I should have sucked it up and stayed out there, you know, and, but, you know, I came back to Florida and, got some jobs at, you know, a place called Be Creative in Sarasota, a British team owned it. Very nice. And I actually learned from one of my mentors, Nigel. He kind of took me under his wing and taught me a lot. You know, he taught me how to refine my design and make it, you know, in the details. And and then after Be Creative, I kind of worked Be Creative kind of on and off, because then I started Heisel Design and I opened up my own shop for about a year, but I did not do it in a smart way. Here's my ego, you know, it took me over, and I thought I was such a great designer that people were going to come to me, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't usually work that way, does it?
Yeah, I know. And I'm like, you know, and I had some clients, but not enough to keep, you know, after a year, I kind of, I was going to keep the shop open, but then I wrote a letter. Well, this, I saw there was a job for a creative director over here in West Palm Beach. You know, I currently live mm-hmm. in West Palm. And I just kind of played around. I was sitting in my office in Heisel Design, you know, and I thought, And I looked at it and I thought, yeah, whatever. And I just, and all I said was, the end of her note she wrote said, must love dogs, because they have two dogs in the studio. And so all I did was write, I love dogs, and I attached my resume. And I sent it, and I didn't expect to get anything back. And, you know, about a week or so later, I got a, you know, ring, and they're saying, we'd like to, you know, bring you over to West Palm Beach, you know, and see if we're a good fit. And sure enough, you know, I moved over here, took the job, and I worked for them for about 4 years with a small agency called Ryan Williams. And
That's cool.
Yeah, it's about 7 or 8 people, you know, and really a really quaint little agency that had two dogs running around at all times, you know, and, you know, it was a good experience, you know, and just recently the last year I went to BFW. I applied, it came with a better pay raise too, you know, and so yeah, and I've been working there for a little over a year, and that's more like pharmaceutical. It's a little more how should I say, like, not so exciting clients, but you know, we did just get a shopping mall, which is, I'm pretty stoked about that. That should be some fun stuff.
So is that where you're working at now then?
BFW. It's called BFW.
Okay, cool. How long have you been there?
About a year, a little over a year. In May it was a year, so.
That's cool. What kind of work then are you doing now as a senior art director over there? Are you mostly creating, or are you delegating, or is it a little bit of both? What does your team look like? What kind of people are you working with? A creative director, graphic designers, and whatnot?
We have 2 copywriters. We have 3 art directors. We have a creative director and an associate creative director. So there's a few people above me, you know, and I wouldn't say, you know, just because I got the title senior art director, that I don't feel like I'm above anybody. We kind of all work together, and you know, and I give my input to them, they give their input back to me, we work together as a team, and we all got pretty tough skin. So it's we, you know, hang anything up on the wall and we go through it and say, this is working, this is not working, you know. And not only am I not, I'm doing design now, but I'm also doing, I did that at my last job too, was a lot of conceptual stuff too, which is kind of fun, where you brainstorm and, you know, come up with some good ideas that are, you know, and I don't even mind doing a little bit of headline writing. I like doing a little bit of copywriting, but I wouldn't say I'm really good at body copy, but headlines, like if you can work an image and come up with a witty way to word it, you know, usually it is pretty gratifying if you get something that's a little, you know, makes people go, hmm. But,
so what kind of stuff are you actually making then? Are you making logos? You doing print? Are you doing websites? Or are you doing a little bit of everything?
Right, currently, this is probably not such a fun one. I'm doing these web banners for a pharmaceutical company called Lupin, and they're for methylphenidate. I don't know if you ever heard of it. It's ADHD drug.
Oh yeah,
I'm
very familiar with werewolves and their work.
And I'm actually
gets that.
Yeah, I'm learning a new. I haven't really messed around with Google Web Designer because. You know, working with a pharmaceutical company, there's quite a lot of, you know, small copy, you know, basically the disclaimer, that's what I want to say. There's a huge disclaimer that goes along with it. So I'm making these web banners, and half the web banner has to be...
the disclaimer?
Least, yeah, even more. I mean, we actually have to do a scroll bar. That's why we're using Google Web Designer, because there has to be a scroll bar on all the pharmaceutical
There has to be a scroll bar in the banner?
In the banner, so I'm making a banner, and half of it is a scroll bar. You can put the text in there and make a scroll bar. I know.
What? Wow. Why even have a fucking banner? That's crazy.
I know.
Is that a normal thing? I've never seen those before.
Yeah.
It's
isn't it just a table at that point? Well, they just create a table that would have. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is the text visible?
It's an iframe. Maybe we just. I think it's an iframe. Yeah.
I'm gonna have to start scrolling on every banner I see.
This is the first one I ever had to put such a huge disclaimer in, you know. And there's even disclaimers with other disclaimers. There's like, and it gets to the point where I'm like, okay, you know, I'm like, it's, you know.
Jason, is that a normal thing? I mean, do you see other companies putting out scroll bars and banners? I've never seen that before.
Yeah, I've never. This is the first time I've done. Yeah, I've seen this. You know, that, yeah. Well,
especially
but I guess
pharmaceutical.
The ones that
this banner may cause nausea, headaches, cramping.
Yeah, it's pharmaceutical. So they go back to their lawyers and say, you know, and we've gone back and forth like 3. I'm not making. And I've done 25 versions of well, they want to try different, you know, they want to do text, a text heavy banner. They want to do some with an image. Believe it or not, I fit an image in there, you know, and it's, so we're trying, they did 25 different, I haven't built them out yet. I just started kind of messing around with web designer, Google web designer to get experience with it. And right now they're in the stages of approving just what we have. And, but there's 25 of them. So now I got to go build 25 banners.
It's like, where do you do your mock-ups? Oh, I do them in Microsoft Word.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
That's really interesting, though. I bet the experience alone of A-B testing all those different things to see what kind of results you get are pretty amazing. So are you using any kind of user research to get those kind of results, or are you guys testing it with people?
That has yet to come. We're still in the process of making the banners, but once... You know, once we start making the banners and we start putting them on the websites, I'm sure they have tracking, you know, some kind of tracking.
I see.
Tool.
So you're just going to put banners on and see what gets results. Gotcha.
And see what gets results. And I think they're going to narrow them down to the ones that are getting the best results. And those are probably the ones they'll go with, I imagine.
Speaking of Google Web Designer, how do you like that? I don't know too many people that use that tool yet. It's pretty nice.
Yeah, well, it's the first time I've used it. So, and actually just like 2 days ago, I started messing around with it. I had a little extra free time at work. And you know, I thought this is coming up, so I need to like learn this program. So,
well, you know, I think having the art of being able to make HTML web banners is definitely something valuable in your toolkit. People are going to look for things like that. Obviously, it's probably just as fundamental as somebody saying, "Can you make it a responsive email?" Yes, yes, I can. Can you also make HTML web banners? So, the companies are going to need that. And they're also going to need somebody to communicate how to do that to a team as well. So if you have X amount of years of experience doing that, no matter if it's in Google Web Designer or any other kind of thing, or if you're making it from scratch or whatever, that's really valuable.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty intuitive. It's not, I mean, it's if you've worked on kind of like timeline, you know, kind of there's like a nice timeline and you just, it's, you know, if you've ever worked any kind of program like that, it feels, you know, it's just, you know, keyframes and stuff like that to do any kind of animation. And like the disclaimer, I just pulled in, it's like an iframe, they call it an iframe, and it's, you just load the content in there and it automatically makes a scroll bar. I would like to refine if there's a way I got to kind of do a little research, and there has to be a way to make I would like to make it a little thinner, the scroll bar, you know. But
who's the age demographic for this drug?
I imagine it'd be parents of kids that have ADHD, you know, so you probably...
Oh, that's right. That's what you said the drug was for. So, you probably could get away with shrinking the scroll bar down a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. If it was older people, then, you know. We have another client, Intrum. It's Intrum Healthcare, and all the type that I make has to be like 12 point on everything because it's all older people. It's all people that are like, you know, 50, 60, and also, you know, it could be for their parents too, like that are kind of thinking about getting health care. It's more for home health care, you know, for older people. And I'm doing some stuff for them right now.
Why did you go with Google Web Designer and not go with something like, I don't know, like Adobe Flash Animate, or not Adobe Animate, now that they rebranded Flash to be just a tool for HTML and it's Adobe Animate? Why not something like that, or what's that other, there's another popular HTML banner creator tool, or just even making it just programming it yourself? Why did you go with Google Web Designer?
Well, I went to Google Web, the art director that sits next to me, he recommended it. He's like, you know, and this is actually his project. He started it, like barely started it, and then he got slammed with some stuff, and then I thought it was gonna be making, and I'm like, yeah, I'll help you out, Chad, I'll do a few banners. And then next time I'm like, 25 banners, holy cow, you know.
Oh, he snuck it in there on you.
And at that point it just fell on my lap, and he's like I was gonna use Google, you know, Google, because you got to do this disclaimer, you know. I'm like, I wouldn't, you know, you know, my programming skills are very limited, so, you know, I could do some research and figure it out, but he said that, and as soon as I went into the program, within like 50 to 20 minutes, I was like, yeah, this is good, I can handle this, you know. It'd be a good program to create it in.
Do you do any programming? You said your programming skills are very limited.
I do HTML and CSS, I know both of those, and I'm dabbling in PHP, and I also would like to learn JavaScript too, you know. In the end, I would like to be able to build a really good website that is that is, you know, it functions very nicely and it is beautiful. Being a designer, it's really hard because I deal with coders a lot of times, and you know, and it's like I have a vision, and here's my vision. I laid out this piece of paper, you know, or whatever. I sent you a screen capture of what I want this to look like, and you know, 99% of the time, it doesn't look exactly. And a lot of them think I'm being very picky, you know, because I want, you know, this point size, and I want the leading to look like, you know, and I just, you know, but that's how I want it to look, and you know, it's, if you can't make it like that, and it kind of pisses me off. Excuse the cringe.
Well, yeah, there's always that kind of communication issue between designers and developers, right? There's always some kind of tension of, hey, this is the way I designed it, make it look like this. And if you can't, you're going to have some kind of intelligent explanation of why you cannot, because technically it cannot. Then if that's not the case, maybe they don't have the skills to design it properly.
It could be, you know, I mean, I try to communicate the best I can, you know, and work with them. And, but you know, I mean, and in the end it's, you know, it's just goes back and forth, and I would,
sure,
like,
there's always compromise.
Yeah. If I can learn how to do that, then I don't have to worry about anybody else. I can design it and then I can implement it, you know? And that would make me very happy. The end result is exactly what I, you know, like what I envisioned, you know. And of course you got, you know, cross browser, you know, things are going to go a little weird between a few different browsers, I'm sure.
At this point, can you take a design that you've made and actually build it?
No, I can build it perfect in HTML and CSS.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. Oh, you can.
Yeah,
okay.
In HTML and CSS, I can build it perfect. You know, I sit there and like I obsess over details, like in my code, and that's why I like coding too. Is just like, it's kind of a way of designing too. You know, you want to bump that over, put a little padding on it or whatever. You know, you can make it look as tight as you want it. You know, and I feel my designs like that I've done in HTML are pretty tight. You know, but it seems like more and more these days you have people that are wanting, you know, they wanting a content management system. You know, and even though they don't want to use it. They want you to do all the editing. But they always ask for it. Oh, am I going to get that in WordPress? I'm like, okay, well, so this is,
yeah,
this
I
is
think
why I'm
people
really...
align quality website with some kind of either CMS or a name brand like WordPress just because they have experience of hearing about it in the past. And then they go, yeah, we got a branded WordPress site, you know.
Yeah.
It's just
it's a buzzword.
Sometimes it could be a buzzword, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's, I always just ask people, it's like, do you really want to reach into your car engine and start playing around with shit? Like, it's like, they're like, well, that's not the same. I go, do you know anything about websites or web designs other than looking at them and like looking at them? No. Okay. Well, let me pose the question again. Do you want to reach into your engine and just start fucking around with shit and see what happens? Like, they're like, can I like change the pictures? Sure, you can change the pictures. Hold on a second. Let me just make a whole CMS for you so that we can just change your pictures for you. Good on you.
I know. That was a good analogy. I like the car. You know, leave it to the mechanic. All right.
Yeah, like, I mean, really, you can. I had a question before we get way too deep into work, and it's come up, and I've been thinking about it for a while, and since I've got two of you guys who've actually gone to Ringling or gone to school and all that other stuff, and from what I'm hearing, and the question I'm going to pose, just so you've got a little bit of time to think about it, was the debt worth it? That's the question that I'm going to ask, and the reason why, and what's brought this question up, has been... Most of the time when I hear about people who have gone to Ringling or have gone to school and stuff like that, it generally wasn't for either web design. They went for something else and they just kind of fell into it. Or they fell into it and then they went to Ringling. And then it was always either a friend that they had made beforehand that was into the same thing that possibly encouraged them or something else. It was like the people that you meet, the hands that you shaked, not the degrees that you had that got you in there. Are you guys experiencing like any like sort of like... I don't know. I guess let me just put the question out there and then hear if it's helped. Was the debt worth it for the school, possibly?
Ringling definitely did bring me to... it got me and my creative juices flowing, like, big time, I think. You know, especially going from foundations where you're drawing, you're doing a bunch of stuff. And the environment and the people that... I mean, I think it's more about the the fellow students that you're with too. You know, a lot of people, I got so inspired by so many different people from, you know, like from photography to, you know, you name it, to to motion graphics. Of course, motion graphics wasn't there when, if I was to go back again, I think I would go for motion graphics. But
yeah, mocap is really, really big. Yeah, I hear that. I hear the creative juices. I hear all that. But what it goes down to is you guys are building towards a career. You know, I mean, art and all that other stuff. I mean, like, whether it gets the creative juices flowing. I mean, like, to say that the creative juices weren't flowing beforehand. I mean, in Fred's case, I knew Fred before Ringling, I believe. Way before.
Yeah, it's way like, before.
I'm sorry. Like, if you want, I don't necessarily think, and I don't know because I'm not Fred and I didn't experience it, but like, his art to me was something that I wanted to see. Like, I still go over to his house. I'm like, where's your photography books at? He's like, I don't know. They're somewhere. Like, yeah, like, yeah, but I mean, it's just like, I mean, he had that in him. And I'm wondering if, like, you know, I mean, obviously some people can't just be self-taught. I'm wondering if, you know, it's, I don't know. I get the culture of Ringling, and I'm not dogging it. I'm just, I like that. That question is like one that always comes up to me, and I'm like, could you get it at a community college? Yeah.
I know exactly what you're asking, and I think I know the exact answer to your question. When you go to a school like Ringling, it's about a few different things. It's not just about, say, a feel good kind of get the juices flowing thing. It's about getting inspired by seeing other people's work, the way you were talking about looking at the, you know, maybe some of my photography books. So if I'm in there, for me, when I was looking at other people's work, it helped me measure my own quality of work by comparing what my peers were doing. So if I saw somebody creating something in Illustrator and I go, oh, well, that's possible because I see Jeremy creating that, so I'm gonna create that in Illustrator too. I could definitely do that. I could do better than that. You also get a sense of community as far as the connections that you're going to get and the connections that you'll be able to leverage later on in life. So for example, some places when I applied for a job, they would say, oh, you went to Ringling, I went to Ringling, or, oh, you went to Ringling, we hire a lot of people from Ringling. So you get maybe that clout or nepotism of, oh, my uncle went to Ringling. You might get connections in that form as well. But I don't think you necessarily need to go to an art college or any kind of college whatsoever to do what we're doing. You could just go to YouTube and watch some tutorial now. Well, yeah, there's the thing now. But I would say even in the past, I wouldn't just say now. So, because I have friends that are my age and older that, to add to your point of the now, that didn't have a YouTube or much internet access back then or that information on the internet. And they just read, some people might not know what I'm talking about, but it's called a book. And they would read these books. These paper interfaces for millennials that don't follow what I'm saying. I know it sounds weird, but they would read these books, and these books would teach them how to program. So they would start developing in something like, you know, C back then. Yeah. And then just any kind of person, when you're in a career, you have a organic progression of things you're writing. So you might go from C, you might start developing Java, then you might start writing some JavaScript code, and today maybe you're writing React Native. So it's that progression depending on where you came from. So yeah, I don't believe you have to go to a school like that to do it, but it depends on your personality. For me, I would have been somebody that would have been able to just launch without something like that.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, well, no, I don't know. I think you're pretty future proof, but I mean, like, yeah, to hear, like, I mean, granted it's really, I mean, to pay for something that's like just the quality of a critique is weird. Now to hear that, like, oh yeah, I shook a hand and I said I was from Ringling, or I said that I graduated from Ringling, or it was in my college, it was on my LinkedIn, it was in my resume, whatever. That handshake gets you, you know, that in. You know what I mean? It's kind of like
it
sales.
Opens doors.
You're selling yourself, and so at that.
It opened the door.
That,
okay.
The
fact
yes.
Ringling, and go ahead.
Good. No, go ahead.
No, I was just saying in Dallas, it opened the door for me. Like, and I was saying open the door, but they're like, oh, I see you went to Ringling. And I was like, and I don't think anybody even worked there that went to Ringling. I don't believe so, no. But But I remember them saying that, oh, you went to Ringling, and so I think that was a factor.
It's a big school, but I'm just saying it's like that's a lot of digging yourself out of a hole for an in. You know what I mean? Like, so it's like I just find myself wondering now that we do have the Scott Tolinskys, the Level Up Types, the Chris Quayers with, you know, Code Pen and other and whatnot, and we have that rich community of people teaching people online where you can actually show your work, because that's what it eventually comes down to is it's showing your work. Like, other than the quality of critique, it's like, I almost question if you even need it anymore, or if it's even relevant now. I get its relevancy, I guess, then.
Well, you need some kind of fundamentals and community to build off of.
I think community is very important, you know.
If you don't know fundamental design skills, if things as small as that, or you don't have the history of Swiss grids or fonts and why they are the way they are, you're not going to do as well. So that was something I wasn't going to research on my own, but I found it out through college. There was a lot of little nuances that make my work even that much better. But again, that's me. Somebody else might do that on their own. But I think it depends on what area you want to go in as far as this industry. You could go right out of high school and you could get a career doing this without any college, because you could watch some tutorials, you could get into it, and you could start developing. There's no need to know that, oh, there was these Swiss guys that did this in the 40s, blah, blah, blah. Or what is Dadaism? Why is that pertaining to the ads I'm creating? There's none of that kind of artsy-fartsy, if you will, bullshit. You could just go straight into development, and you could come out of high school and be making 70, 90K right away.
Mm-hmm. I think if you prove yourself, if they see, you know, like you've built some amazing websites, I mean, you're going to show them, and I don't think a piece of paper really matters in the end, or your portfolio. If you have a great portfolio and you've never even stepped foot in an art school, I think people are going to look and say, well, this guy's got talent, you know?
Completely agree.
Well, I mean, there is some truth to that, but there's also, I mean, just like how there's a Bauhaus and Swiss design, there's also, like for development, there's the Gang of Four, who, you know, came up with a bunch of different design patterns, like the Singleton, MVC, like back in the 70s, I want to say. I could be wrong. But those are things like, yeah, you could pick up books, or you could go to college to learn all that, and they'll teach you that like up front. But then there's also, going along the self-taught route. I've been to college and done a lot of self-teaching. And in self-teaching, there's also a lot of imposter syndrome, I gotta say, because I mean, you could crank out a lot of stuff and never feel that you're complete, because you're always worried that, oh, I'm not gonna know this certain part of a font, or you know, I'm not gonna be very good at calligraphy, or I'm not gonna be able to implement a flywheel pattern or a, you know, anything like that effectively. So it makes you keep thinking that there's more, and there is more. Is it absolutely necessary? Maybe not. It'll help, sure, but you'll keep looking for it, and you'll find it. Especially nowadays, you can't help but bump into it, whether it's Twitter and Facebook and Slack, especially.
Yeah, I just thought it was an interesting topic to bring up, because it's like, it's now that we do have rich communities out there that are way cheaper, you know, it's like to hear, you know, that these places are still relevant, or maybe what they might need to do to stay relevant, I think might be an argument to be had, because just going in and like the prestige of a name, like saying that you went to Harvard for law, I mean, still, when it comes down to it, when you sit down in the office, that Harvard diploma is just the first initial handshake. It's that first initial, hey, this dude went to Harvard, he's probably pretty legit. But if you can't sell it, it's over. Like,
you can't undervalue, and I'm not saying you are, but people cannot undervalue what you get from these certain schools. So if you went to Harvard, you might get a certain level of education, granted that someone doesn't get another kind of school. Or if you go to Ringling, you're going to get a certain kind of value of education, depending on the level of people that are teaching and whatnot. That alone, maybe not even the name, well, you might not even need to bring up the name, but that education might be enough to get you in the door somewhere.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like, because I mean, coming from somebody who was educated in, you know, arguably one of the worst states to get educated in, you know, which is Florida. You know, that makes sense. I mean, like, seriously, like I will take that as an acceptable answer. It's like. Like, you're building a foundation. These people are actually putting these things to you that are, because we're in an ever-changing industry, you know, or you guys are in an ever-changing industry. I just talk shit online, but where it's always changing. It is an ocean. You know what I mean? So to have the coral reef, you know, and why the coral reef exists, you know, and then the kelp and the plant life in the ocean, what it's made out of, put in front of you. Then you're kind of released into this world. It's like, okay, that's the basics. Here's a lasso. Go find all the other shit now. Like, so that makes more sense.
These schools are for profit. They hire out people that are the best. They're looking for the best that they could afford to be able to attract students. So they're not looking per se for people from Florida. They're looking for professors all over the world, and they're trying to find the best talent, and they're constantly updating their arsenal of educators to have the best talent to attract more people and then produce the best people. So it's not about attracting students, but it's about getting the best quality educators and then being able to show the results. So it's about Ringling being able to say 90% of our graduates are making this kind of a career. They're doing this well. When we poll, students out of the school after 10 years are doing this and they're doing this well. Or this person is a famous person in this. This alumni is a famous person in that. This alumni is a thought leader in this. They were on this TED Talk. So it's for them, it's about metrics, and it's about being able to produce high results. It's all about the ROI. So it's not just, you know, that they care. They're in it for profit, but it's also they need to be able to prove that they're doing something right and to that you deserve their money. And you want to go there.
Yeah, the worth. And just so everybody knows, this episode today is brought to you by Ring. I'm kidding. I'm so kidding. Although I would not be opposed to that if anybody's listening from Ring.
I thought it was brought to you today by werewolves.
Yeah, I know exactly. Yeah, no, it is. It's interesting. I mean, I know that they, you know, some of my friends that went for like mocap and stuff like that were doing, were getting like, their mentors were from ILM or were from, you know, Pixar or Disney, you know, the Disney animation studios. Like, literally, they were, you know, going in with it and so like that. So, I mean, I understand what they're doing in that sense and whatnot. I just wanted to pose that question, like, if you guys really felt like, you know, digging yourself out of debt for however long it took you guys to do it was like a path back then that was worth it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, because for me, I had really great teachers and I got a lot out of it. And I made sure that every opportunity I had to crack their brain and drink the juice, like I did and made a good use out of their information.
Did they have purple drink, though?
I'm sorry?
Did they have purple stuff when you cracked open their brain, or was it just Sunny D?
No, it was just Sunny D.
Damn.
Yeah. It was the good stuff. The Sunny D, not the purple stuff.
Well, yeah, but no, orange stuff. We got the brown stuff. It was literally
brown stuff.
No, it's literally like the scene in Corky Romano. Yeah, in the Corky Romano scene where the brother can't read, and he's like, "I'll take the is it the ice cream thing?" He's like, "I'll take the rocky road there," and he's like, "It's clearly says like vanilla, fucking chocolate and strawberry." He's like, "We don't have that." He's like, "Okay, well, I'll take the pistachio there." And it's like, "We don't have that either." And he just gets angry. so good. All right. Well, sorry for taking over the entire podcast with that question, but
no, I mean, these are good questions. That was great.
No, I agree. I think that, you know, I got a great education at Railing, but not saying that you couldn't, you know, like I have a friend who his son is just turning 18 and he's wanting to become a game designer and, he's pondering the school over this way. I think it's about, you know, I think it's like $5,000 or $6,000 a year. It's not that much, you know? And I said, it really all depends if he gets himself around a good group of, you know, he has some good teachers, definitely, but a good group of people, too, that are, it doesn't matter, it could be a small group that you guys just bounce ideas off each other and get feedback. And, you know, I really think the community is a very important thing, you know.
Say, if you want to go and become a quote-unquote web designer or, I don't know, front-end developer or front-end engineer, and you want to go to a school like Wholesale because you have no idea what that entails, right? So that could be something for you because you have no idea what you want to do or how to even do it or even what the options are. So going to some place like Wholesale might be perfect for that kind of an audience. Whereas, yeah, again, if you're somebody that has a good idea and likes programming, you could just jump into programming and, like you cited, Jonathan, just go and get the paid membership at Level Up Tutorials and do that for like a few weeks and you'll be fucking gold. Or like you were talking about, Jason, like your buddy is going to go to a school to learn game design. Well, then I would say, does that school have teachers that used to be in the industry? Were they game designers? Ringling, we had teachers that were graphic designers. They were practicing graphic designers and they had a good career. And the only reason why they were teachers, it wasn't the old adage of those who can't teach. It was far from that. It was those who can, please teach. Please, we'll pay you extra just to do some teaching too. That's what it was.
Yeah, and most of them were all still practicing in their field too. That's what I like too. You could still see, you know, you look out there and you see some of the stuff they were still doing. You know, so it's not like they were just teaching and that's all they were doing.
Yeah, you're basically having paid mentors. Yeah. So Jason, are you doing any kind of CSS post or pre-processing stuff? Or are you just a vanilla CSS? Like, do you use Sass or Less or anything like that?
No, actually, most of I design. Don't hate me. Not in Dreamweaver.
Dude, no hate me.
I don't use most of the things in Dreamweaver. I usually just use it as a visual to my. I usually use the code like the split view. So, and I code on one side. And then I just see what's going on the other side. So it gives me a good idea of, you know, that I'm doing stuff right.
I don't think anybody should, and I know where you're coming from with like the don't hate me comment. And I think a lot of people get caught up in that and being snobs about shit when it comes to that stuff. If whatever tool works and helps you get the job done, use that tool. If it's Dreamweaver, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I think Dreamweaver is a great tool to catapult people into web front-end design and web design, if you will. It's because you have that WYSIWYG editor, you could see what it's doing. It's not like Adobe doesn't keep up with shit. It's not like it's on version 3. They still update that stuff. I think what it is that it's a very heavy, it's a heavy client, right? It's not a lightweight client like a Sublime Text or an Atom.
When you say heavy, you mean it adds extra code and stuff like that? Is that what you mean by heavy?
Yeah, so there's two kinds of clients. There's a fat client and there's a thin client. So a fat client is something like Photoshop or Dreamweaver, where it has it does a lot of things. It's very heavy. It requires a lot of processing power. Where you have something more lightweight, like a thin client, which is more of like just a text editor.
Talking about like Sketch?
No, not like Sketch, but more like Sublime Text or Atom again, because all you're doing at that point is you need something to highlight your code. So you're just typing. You're not referencing anything. Like somebody like Eric's level. Eric is a JS developer. He would just go in and he just knows what he wants to type. He doesn't need to use
to see it,
he doesn't need to use some kind of panel to pull in things to do it. But what he needs is something to be able to see his syntax highlighting as he's doing it. But Eric, go ahead. What were you saying?
I was just going to mention that, especially if you're doing email coding, Dreamweaver is actually still kind of the go-to system because of that split view. I don't actually know anybody who uses the database functionality of it. Man, they went all out back in the day to put that stuff together. But oh my god, it's like, all right, so we got to wire it up to our back end, which is on a different server, but it's going to pull in information. And I vaguely remember something about Dreamweaver templates or something like that.
I think they do have templates when you open
it. Man. But I never even got into that.
I've never used it, but I see it.
Yeah, it's basically what the Dreamweaver template is it sets up kind of pages in the way you would think of with server includes. So it sets up all your files with these their own kind of include tags or whatnot, kind of like the way you would think of as like the way Mustache or something like that. But it basically does a find and replace. So if you think it creates like a header and footer file, but it doesn't actually include it. It puts out flat files, and then it does like a find and replace when you want to do stuff. So it's pretty interesting. It was the way like a flat file system might work today. So if you're using something like, I don't know, like Jekyll or something like that to generate your flat files or whatever NPM you might pull in to do that. That's exactly what I was doing. It's pretty interesting.
You know, it's kind of funny because we'll talk about the split screen view in Dreamweaver, so you can see it take place as you're coding. And then on the flip side, a lot of us will use Grunt or Gulp or Webpack so that we actually see the content change as we're editing. So, you know, there's a lot of yak shaving just to do kind of the same thing. I mean, granted, okay, it's actually in multiple browsers and in mobile devices, but still, it's just something that's kind of comical in a way, something that's been done for years.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I usually don't use like the panels. I actually, if I'm going to insert an image, I don't go insert image. I actually, you know, I type in the image tag and stuff like that and insert it. I guess it's just kind of how I design, I guess. But I would like to be to the point where, like you say, you don't even need it. You just know exactly, you know, to insert stuff in there. You don't need to probably anything. It saves you time to not have to look over and say, okay, now that's working or whatever. You just know it's working.
Yeah, but if you don't know it at first, it's great to have that. By the time you do it for X amount of years, you'll just have that. Is it so bad to have that tool? No. You'll probably, after a certain amount of time, just say, yeah, I don't even need this, and you'll move on to something else. But or you might stick with it. Again, there's
many roads lead towards the digital realm, right?
That is true.
Agreed.
Awesome. Well, Jason, thank you so much for being on the cast today, my brother. We are definitely about to wrap things up, but thanks for the perspective. Thanks for answering a question that's been stirring in my brain for a good 4 or 5 months now or something like that. So it was definitely good to get some good perspective. Well, I wanted to ask it from an intelligent place. So it was you know, other than the mindless dribble that I usually put out about, you know, sexual paintings.
There's so many of us thinking the same question.
All right, guys. Well, thanks a lot for being on.
Hold on, I got one more thing to say. I was just wondering if you got Rick roll.
Is good, but he does not, as I've heard today through some weird random YouTube thing. Huey Lewis actually longer penis than him. Don't know why. I found that out today on YouTube, but that apparently is Huey Lewis.
All right. Well, on that note, goodbye, everybody.